Hello and welcome to ECCDC's organizational podcast, where we will be having a conversation with three Niagara organizations, connecting and reflecting on their pandemic journey to hear their story of resilience and adapting to constant change, connecting for conversation about changes they've experienced as an organization, staying connected with staff and families, communication strategies that have been put into place with their educators and families, ways in which they have seen their teams grow stronger, and reflecting on their aha moments. Looking forward to sharing their thoughts and ideas with you.
So I'm excited to introduce Tracy Murray, the Executive Director of Child's View, which has three programs located in Grimsby, joining us for our organizational podcast. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you, Patricia, for having me today.
We are reaching out to organizations across Niagara to find out how this past year has impacted their programs and things happening within their centers. So our first thought and question is, has the structure of your organization changed as a result of the pandemic?
Yes, it has. We are living in a new normal in the midst of this pandemic, and daycare has been significantly impacted in its operations because of it. We unfortunately had to reduce our ratios due to additional staff needed for screening, your high touch, your additional cleaning and disinfecting. It was definitely a challenge as we had to maintain our cohort at all times, wear the PPE, and we had to wash our hands constantly, more so than usual. Scheduling was a puzzle that we had to solve to make it work as well. We had many families decide to withdraw their children due to parents working from home, being laid off, or choosing to homeschool their children virtually. And trying to figure out the best outcome, knowing that their childcare space could be in jeopardy when they would once again need it. So no one anticipated that we would be in the same place 1 year later today, fighting COVID. We were also having difficulty retaining and hiring staff pre-pandemic, and this only provided more of a struggle for childcare in the Niagara region when the pandemic arrived. But somehow we managed and continued to stay the course one day at a time.
Yeah, so again, a lot of learning happening within that. And you mentioned about families and your team, and how have you worked through as an organization staying connected with your educators and families?
Well, during our first shutdown in 2020, when the daycares were closed, we initiated a weekly group Zoom gathering for parents and children where they could stay connected with their teachers. And we were able then to reach out to the parents and support them further that way. We really did miss the kids and our family connections that we had, being told that we couldn't, you know, work in daycare. Our staff were amazing at engaging the children and used this time in doing crafts, science experiments, story time. We even had our cook engage in recipes with the children and their parents. So there was some cooking involved to get them all engaged that way. So we basically, the information was shared with the families a week before the Zoom gathering was happening. And then that way, everybody was prepared for what they needed in their homes, and it was well received by the parents. And then as we reopened in July 2020, we continued to communicate to our parents through emails, brief discussions held at the screening tables. However, it was not the same. And since parents were not allowed past the screening table, we had to look at another way to engage our families better. So then we discovered Blooms. And that was a big game changer for us. So as daycares continued to remain open for business in 2021, this virtual app would be our answer to further enhance our connection and support our families. This virtual app also allowed staff and supervisors to connect with the families each day. And we used that platform to send learning stories, documentation, information about their child, classroom newsletters and happenings, and basically what their child is learning and much more. Although not the same as a person-to-person connection, Child's View has become more resilient. I feel more responsive And I feel we've reached a new level and skill set to support and engage our families even more.
Wonderful. And again, that important piece of continuing with those relationships when we think about how does learning happen, and that foundation of that trust, that relationship, and knowing that that's going to be there when they do return. So wonderful. And you mentioned Zoom, you mentioned Blooms as far as communication strategies. Were there other things that you used as far as reaching out to staff or families with any changes working around?
Well, at first for families, it was mostly like through the emails, the policy changes, just keeping them up to date with all the public health requirements, Ministry of Education protocols that we had to put in place. That took a little bit of strategizing and getting that communication piece out to the parents. But we also had to inform them and provide that information that said, this is what we have to do, and this is the why behind why we have to do it. You know, we kept them in the know so that they could make the best informed decisions for their families. And it was a difficult decision whether or not for the parents to, you know, they struggled with, do I keep my child in childcare? Do I pull them out? And we did have that understanding that they needed time, and we allowed it to happen and fold out how it was going to happen. Before when we were closed down, and then we chose a date of July 8th to reopen, so that we did provide 2 weeks before we opened to allow the staff to have proper training on cleaning, disinfecting, wearing PPE. We communicated that to the families as well, so that they know that we were prepared. We only had one shot at creating a safe and healthy environment for our staff and families, I felt, and we wanted to ensure that these new practices and protocols put in place were communicated effectively for everybody.
And again, it sounds like you really listened to the families. You spoke about that opportunity to let them work through that. And again, all the emotions, yeah, that would go with it. So yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
It was hard. It was hard on everybody. So you had to kind of take everything into consideration.
Definitely. And again, thinking about your team, and what ways have you seen them grow as a result of the changes within the pandemic?
Well, at first we were afraid. We were petrified. Just trying to think about COVID and us living side by side. And yes, that's like the song. And we will, and we have survived, I feel. I've seen a great shift in our staff enhancing their teamwork and communication skill set with one another, being more kinder, taking on more of a mindful practice of empathy and understanding with one another, our families, and the children in our care. Learning new skill sets as well in the virtual world for staff and even myself, I thought that was a big shift in my professional development. Staff have stepped up, shown up, and continue to provide an excellent and exceptional learning environment for the children during this pandemic. And they successfully worked side by side through the restrictions it has placed on us with a positive attitude. Although a smile could not be seen behind the mask, it was there that they worked through everything with a smile on their face. They were happy, and they didn't really show too much. They just were always upbeat about it. Our teams have demonstrated resiliency, and I'm very proud of them.
And again, the opportunity for educators to continue to collaborate and work together. And it sounds like they've really created that network within the team to support each other and hold each other up when needed. So amazing.
Yeah, it was important.
Any aha moments that you've had over this past year that you would like to share?
I mean, we all know that children are resilient, but I have to give them a little bit more credit. Children are more resilient than I do give them credit for. You know, the staff, you know, I was concerned the staff wearing PPE and we were going to scare them. We even asked the parents to practice wearing a mask and goggles at home so they could kind of can get familiar with what attire we were going to be wearing and that sort of thing. So, you know, through this, I believe that the children, they accepted this as the new norm. And I believe that the children actually led us by example. And for that was an aha moment for me, because I was very a little apprehensive when we started how the kids were going to react. That was really, you know, I didn't want to impact their learning in such a negative way, but it really didn't end up being that way. And the virtual world for meetings for Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I think it's created a new way to set up meetings, even after the pandemic is over. I think that this is something I'd like to continue to do in our organization when it's appropriate to do so. There's no better one-on-one or person-to-person connection, but when the opportunity presents itself that, you know, people are coming from all over the place instead of meeting or, you know, everybody let's hang out in the supervisor's office, you know, and you're crowded and that sort of thing. It's kind of nice that the Zoom allows you to have a platform so that everybody can be comfortable in that environment. And lastly, I just wanted to say that I cannot remember even what the old norm was. Or used to be, but I can tell you that living in this pandemic has unified us, and I believe we're better educators for it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You've highlighted many pieces of this puzzle, as you said at the beginning, mm-hmm. that we were trying to work through. And yes, the opportunity to continue using multiple platforms to connect, you know, so again, Zoom in person, and now we know that it works. We have that comfort level with it. And again, so the doors that it has opened.
Yes.
And I love how you said that unified group of educators, and that your team is moving forward collaboratively. I know you've always had a very collaborative group of educators working together. And so it's great to hear that this has just even strengthened those relationships. So
mm-hmm. For sure, it has, definitely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and ideas as we've moved through this past year. Very inspirational for everything that you and your team have done, and look forward to connecting with you in the future.
Thank you very much, Patricia, again, for having me and giving me this opportunity to speak on behalf of childcare in the Niagara region. And I want to also extend a thank you very much to the ECCDC for everything that you have done, that you've provided the support that, you know, what can we do, the even through your own organization, the ECCDC, instead of doing the workshops in person, you found a way to do the webinars. I'm loving the self-care and the mindful practice seminars. That seems to be a little bit, because of the pandemic, it seems to now become a bit of a shift in how we're doing business and how we are showing up for work, you know, so that the staff and the children benefit from that. So I want to thank you as well.
Wonderful. I will certainly pass that along. We appreciate that. And again, thank you very much.
Thanks, Patricia. Take care.
You as well. So I'm excited to have on Christina Clark, the assistant director with La Boîte Soleil, who is going to share some of her thoughts and ideas and collaboration with her team on some of our questions around how organizations have handled and moved forward through this past year dealing with the pandemic. So welcome, Christina.
Thank you.
So thinking about your organization and the structure of it, has it changed as a result of the pandemic?
I think the best answer I can come up with for that question is that the field has changed, and in such expectations have changed of childcare centers. So in our organization, the structure of it itself hasn't changed. We've been able to move and adapt and change throughout all of this in terms of expectations of the sector, expectations that parents have and that the community has, comes and goes with whatever's new and coming out, you know, through the news or through the government decisions. So that has really changed. The way we found our resilience has changed. So we're much more resilient in feeling as though you're yo-yoed back and forth between different sectors. So you have, you know, public health and the Ministry of Education and kind of yo-yoing back and forth. So that has really changed. We're much more comfortable with any rules that come out. Something else that's changed is that the staff has had new perspective about their field. And if they're passionate about the field, they stayed. And some have returned because they felt as though they were unfulfilled or looking for meaning in their roles. And some have left because it's just not something that they wanted to deal with through the pandemic. So some of them didn't return after that first initial closure in March. And then when La Boîte à Soleil reopened in July, we had, I would say, a good, you know, 7 staff that decided not to return because of just changes in themselves or the risk was greater than the reward. So we were able to kind of come back with the staff members that truly wanted to be in this field. And that has made all the difference because you see that passion and that light, that fire that makes them want to wear the masks and wear the shields come through that journey with us.
And again, so thinking about staying connected with staff, with families, how do you work through that as an organization to stay connected with them?
We have had to be very flexible with the way in which we communicate. The best new tool has obviously been, you know, anything to do with visual communication. Zoom has been fantastic. It kept us all connected throughout that closure. In the month of March until July, we were able to meet with our staff weekly during that time. Just keep them connected, let them know what was happening. And when we reopened childcare centers, we spent a lot of time training with expectations. There was a lot of worry at the beginning as well as how am I going to make this work? What does it look like? You know, lots of anxiety. So helping staff through that was really important for us. Also then through this past year of surveying the staff, finding out how they're doing, looking at their wellness, looking at if they needed any time, being more flexible with absent days or days that they needed to be at home. Those kinds of things helped us with during the communication piece. Like I said, surveying, we've come a long way with asking the staff how they feel. We have, you know, communication with our families has always been through Hi Mama. We do use that application fairly religiously, I could say. We also communicate to our parents through email. And something that had been, you know, a struggle in the past few years, and I'm going back, you know, last 3 years was a little bit of a struggle, was to communicate with our parents through email because not everybody checks their email every day. And not everybody is as, you know, as faithful in making sure that there's no mail in their junk and all that kind of stuff. But what happened with the pandemic is that we're now sending email through Hi Mama that is going directly to their email inbox. And then we can also send them emails directly from the admin office, which has been new. So, and that was directly as a result of the closure. We needed to find a way to quickly communicate with the families. So, you know, when I send an email to the family, it's getting responded to. So it's very, it's great in sort of an organization when many people from many different levels of the organization can communicate with the families via different formats and it gets a response. That's when you know we've made a difference, is that you're getting that response and that communication with the family. So I feel as though we're at a really great time right now, that the families feel as if they have any concerns or questions, they can email any one of us, because they have now a multitude of different people that have been emailing them, and they can communicate with any one of us. And then internally we can figure out who the best person is to answer that question. It's been very positive in that way.
So again, we talked about surveys, using the apps, connecting via email as far as those communications, and with staff as well. Are there different ways that you've been communicating with them, getting those ideas and messages and information across?
Yes, yes. As I mentioned, something that's really been great is the surveys. We've just we surveyed the staff, like I said, as their well-being, to ask them, how they're doing. Are they happy? We also surveyed them at the beginning of the year this year, to preemptively find out that if the province would shut down childcare centers, which staff would prefer to work remotely? Would they prefer to just, be laid off? And we're able to hear their concerns. Emailing the staff back and forth. We weren't in that process before, but now, again, it's just become a great way to communicate with them. All of our staff meetings, so any staff meeting we've had, our full retreat. So every year La Boîte à Soleil closes their centers one day at the end of August, and we do a staff retreat. And so we were able to get the staff at the centers, each on their own media, so tablet, whatever. And we were able to do our full staff retreat. We had guest speakers, and we were really proud of that, because it was really out of the box thinking. And we were able to continue that format with our two annual meetings, which is, we always laugh because we say we have two annual meetings, which means they're biannual, but it's a joke around here. We like to joke about that. But so we have two meetings that all of the staff come to. And so we're, 60, 70, 80 people on a Zoom call, and, we're able to do staff recognition. We're able to discuss, and we're able to use Zoom platform and do surveys and ask them questions and survey them about the vaccine. And, how do they feel about the vaccine? Are they worried? Are they, feeling anxious? And just kind of get the, even though we have really no control over what the government is going to decide in terms of vaccines. So this was in February when we hadn't really heard a lot, but it was able to give the staff a voice to let us know where we were sitting and who was comfortable where. So again, just that outlet that they're able to share. So again, letting them use their voice, letting them partake in something that is bigger than themselves, in terms of organization, helps people feel connected in the long run, because they feel that sense of, okay, well, I have a voice.
And again, it sounds too that you're showing them that you're authentically listening to them. You're using that information, you're feeding it back to them, you're explaining how it's going to be used and why you're doing that. So again, that's really building those relationships with them and that trust in that, as an organization, you're there to support them, which is wonderful.
Yeah, we're doing what we can, as much as we can. I'm hoping that message is getting across. We're all kind of hands tied in terms of, visiting the centers and being involved, where I would normally go out to a center and be hands-on, doing that a lot less, or not able to go in and do those kinds of things. So it makes connecting a lot harder, and it makes connecting with families a lot harder. And it makes, so having different ways to connect with the families. So being able to have Zoom calls with families and sit down and have phone conversations, calling parents to talk about DPS results. And instead of doing that face-to-face, booking time with parents after hours. So being flexible with all of that has really showed everyone that at the end of the day, we care. And we care, and we will do our best to support everyone.
That links into all the four foundations with how does learning happen as well. That sense of belonging for the team and the families. You're taking care of their well-being. You have that opportunity for expression and you're engaging them in that conversation. So again, you know, still using our frameworks, moving through the pandemic, and that's amazing. And linking into that, so thinking about, you talked about some staff having that passion and returning, wearing those masks, shields, all that lovely PPE, things and ways that you've seen the staff grow stronger as a result of the pandemic. Any changes that you'd like to highlight?
I, you know what I would, we really have amazing staff, and you know, I'm proud to say that we do. Throughout all of this, you know, growing stronger, there's a lot more listening and understanding. And that's really important in any types of communication or management or anything like that, is being able to listen without judgment and understand where these people, where anyone is coming from. I say these people, but anyone is coming from. So that coming from the parents that have lost their job, or the staff that are all of a sudden, they have no one to watch their kids because the schools are closed and now they're home and they have to do online learning. And it's being, you know, being okay with staff needing those mental health days, or they need to, you know, take a sick leave. And it's, you know, we know that it's, they're not taking advantage, and there's not that stigma of, you know, that would be, that could have been there in the past where they would feel as though they were looking down upon, that someone was looking down upon them to, you know, say that they're being, for whichever reason, not wanting to work. And we know that's not the case, because the staff that are with us want to work. It's just that their lives can't allow them. So that understanding, they're working together, for the common goal of taking care of the children, the staff's willingness to adapt to all of the policies. They're not easy. We know that they're not easy, and we know that they're doing overtime to make sure that the rooms are disinfected and they're clean, and the children, you know, cubbies are clean at the end of the day. And those things take time. They don't happen overnight. They're not magic. So being able to know that we can climb this big mountain if we all work together, to me is a huge realization, you know, going forward, is that, wow, you know, look at all the stuff we were able to do, and we were still able to have great programs. You know, our centers are still full. You know, the parents are still happy. So, you know, when we do have difficult moments, you know, when you have a COVID case and you have to close a classroom, the parents are understanding. They understand there's no complaints. We handle it together. We handle it well. We listen, and we lead by example. So there's been lots of positive things that have come out of this. And I think working together for this, you know, common greater good, is one of them. You know, we're all in the same boat, which we can't always say. We can't always say that, but the entire world is in the same predicament, and you know, varying degrees, surely. But that's what I can say. We have excellent staff, and we've definitely grown stronger.
And it sounds to me like you've flipped it around, that taking that negative into the positive. What can we celebrate? How can we celebrate? You mentioned in your annual biannual meetings, still having those opportunities to celebrate the staff and their achievements. And so again, that opportunity is still there, and understanding that that's still important to the team to have those recognitions and to know that they are being valued. So wonderful.
Yes, yes. Throughout this entire thing, we've actually created some new opportunities for recognition. You know, we started a Employee of the Month program. So the staff vote for their peers and let them know why they think that they stood out this month. You know, so it's peers, and it's togetherness, and it's, you know, this is what you did really good. And celebrating those little things, because those little things are what matter now.
Yeah. Even those, just those few words to hear them can just flip that day and change that day. So again, that recognizing that's amazing. Other aha moments that you would like to share over your journey this past year?
Yeah, you know, we have had the opportunity to flip our sector in almost on its head. And I say that as an opportunity because I look at all of the learning that has taken place in this past year. Everything is switched to online. I can, you know, take a workshop in the morning about health and wellness. And in the afternoon, I can take a workshop on how to manage, critical conversations in the workplace. I can be in two places at once. I could, you know, there's a lot less travel, a lot less risk of staff being on the road, traveling from one center to another or getting to a meeting. So for me, it was able to see that we can work differently and still get to our goals. I think the biggest thing was able to give our employees more leadership opportunities by giving them a framework. So we had to, you know, create COVID policies. So we gave them a framework with no answers. It's never been done before. I don't know how you're going to do sensory play, but this is what you can't do. Yeah. And so giving the staff a framework and then letting them be creative and give them the opportunity to live within this framework has really showed them that they are able to still give the children what they need, but just in a different way. So still being able to have, you know, that sensory play, because it's a really easy example, you know, giving children their water play in their own individual bins is actually better in some ways because the children aren't fighting over things and they can make as big of a mess or as little of a mess as they want. And so I see it as a positive thing. More aha moments, you know, we have been able to accompany the staff. So instead of directing, accompany them through their learning. When we were closed there again from March till July, we actually had our staff come back in the month of May, and they did about 6 weeks of online learning. So they were able to be, you know, students again. And for some of our staff, it's been a long time since they were students. So, you know, different degrees of challenging. They had to adapt to, new technology, which they weren't comfortable with at all. So I think there's been a lot of aha moments to help everyone learn and get new information. We were able to continue doing our special programs, for example. So the gardening program is still going. We're still able to do gardening with the children, even in light of this pandemic, and adapting the gardening program, you know, as to different rules. So it's just looking at things in a new way. And I think that's really exciting because sometimes we in this sector think that there's only one good way to do something because we have so many rules and regulations that are contradicting. So for us to be able to find a way to pivot and, rebuild what we once had is only going to make us better when we do start having those restrictions lifted.
Sounds too like you, we always talk about that opportunity as educators to co-learn with children. And this offered your educators that opportunity to co-learn together and challenge themselves and be there to support as they move through, which is wonderful. And again, I should have asked at the beginning of our time talking together, Le Bois du Soleil has how many centers in Niagara running now?
We have seven centers in Niagara. We have four in Welland, one in Port Colborne, one in St. Catharines, and one in Niagara Falls.
Fantastic. So again, serving the Niagara region,
yes.
And the Francophone community, yes. Through all this wonderful past year. So again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really enlightening. And thank you for sharing and collaborating with your team to come back and share all these wonderful ideas. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So our next guest on today's podcast is Kim Cole, who is the executive director with A Child's World. Welcome today, Kim.
Thank you very much, Patricia.
And with the Child's World, how many centers do you have across Niagara?
When we're up and running normally, we would have 24 childcare centers throughout the region.
Fantastic. So serving many different areas and many different children and families.
Exactly. We have a variety of sizes from, you know, full day, all age groups to before and after school programs.
Wonderful. Great. So for today, we wanted to touch base with different organizations around Niagara, looking at this past year with the pandemic. And jumping into the first thought is about the structure of your organization and has it changed at all as a result of the pandemic?
Actually, we've done really well. As mentioned, we do normally operate 24 childcare centers. From reopening last year after the shutdown, we were able to open 20 locations, and that's due to enrollment as well as, you know, the region public health restrictions and human resources. So we're happy that we were able to at least open 20 of the locations that we have.
Thinking about all these, the structure and the changes, how have you worked as an organization to stay connected with your staff and the families?
Actually, COVID has really brought some learnings for a Child's World. And one of them is in the area of communication. So for the educators, when we were first shut down, we already had our staff portal set up. So we were able to use that to keep the lines of communication open with all of our educators. So any memos or communication that we wanted to get to the centers, to the educators, they received a notification saying there was something for them on the portal, so they were able to go in and open it up. The other nice thing about the staff portal is that I was able to stay engaged with the educators. So I would do weekly or biweekly fun things with them. You know, we would come up with a topic. So, you know, one week it was, send me your favorite recipe, or, you know, what kind of music are you listening to right now? We even did a baby picture and everyone had to guess, you know, who that baby was. So we did some really fun things to keep them engaged while they were at home, worried about what was going to be happening, because when we were told 2 weeks and then it turned into 8 weeks to 10 weeks to 14 weeks, you know, trying to keep them engaged and you know, letting them know what was happening as well. So that was some fun things. Another thing around communication was we did realize very quickly that we didn't have anything in place to communicate with our parents. So each center has a way of connecting with our parents, so either through Hi Mama or they have all their email addresses. But as an administration office, we quickly realized that we didn't have that. As well as the way our website was set up, we had to send in requests to have any changes to our website, and that usually took between 5 to 7 business days. So our website was not able to be a means of communication with our families. Kind of changed that with our website, and we're going to be working this year at trying to get parents to go to our website for updated information. So we were using Facebook and then using our supervisors to send out information as well. So those were really two learnings that we had as far as, you know, staying connected with staff and families.
And you touched on a few communication strategies. Are there any others that you incorporated or have changed with staff and families regarding any of those changes that popped up?
I think everyone's doing Zoom, right? I think we're all really tired of Zoom, but it is a good way to stay connected. So we continue to have management meetings. We actually also did a Zoom meeting at night for any educators who wanted to come on and just ask questions that weren't sure what was happening or just wanted to say hi, that type of thing. So we have used Zoom as well. That's about it, though, at this point.
And so thinking about all these changes that you as an organization and your educators have gone through, and what ways have you seen your team grow stronger as a result of all these pandemic changes?
Well, I have to say our educators They're an amazing group of individuals. We think about them all the time. They're the ones that are at the centers, you know, dealing with everything over this past 13 months. They've worked together to support each other and to make sure that everyone's doing well, you know, like just that check-in, you know, to make sure that, are you doing okay? Like, how are you feeling? Right? Type of thing. Their work with the children, their programming, they're sending their programming to their program coordinators because we haven't been able to get into the centers for 13 months. So trying to keep that communication going. So their programming is being sent to us, and they're doing really well with it. And there's challenges to go along with the restrictions that we're all dealing with. The stress of their job, of course, and not being able to communicate face-to-face with parents. Doing all of that and wearing masks and shields or goggles, you know, on top of that, plus cleaning, you know, all of that. So, and they do it all with a smile on their face. You know, they're amazing. They're there for the children, and they continue to be there for the children. Some of them, you know, as the weather starts getting nice outside, they're making sure that they're outside first thing or, you know, the end of the day, so they can at least have some conversations with the parents. They do really miss that as well, to keep those lines of communication open. But, you know, just, you know, for their own personal growth as well, you know, keeping in contact with parents. And many of them have let me know that, you know, they're keeping up their professional development, and that's definitely, you know, thanks to ECCDC for adapting so quickly and supporting so many of them with their virtual learnings. The ECCDC is, you know, your staff there are incredible, and, you know, you make everything fun and enjoyable. And those are, you know, the comments that we're receiving is they're so glad that they're able to still do some sort of professional learning to keep up with everything that they're dealing with.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. That's lovely to hear. And thinking about this past 13 months, you said you have, you know, 20 to 24 centers, which is how many staff approximately, would you say?
We're about 150, 160 staff.
Wow. Amazing. So with that, this past 13 months, all the educators within your organization, are there any aha moments that you would like to share?
I definitely think there's been a few. Again, our educators and how resilient, how dedicated, and just overall how wonderful they are. We couldn't run our organization without them. And, you know, everything that they've been dealing with. Again, we're not in the center, so we can't see it, you know, what they're doing. But we know, you know, because they're having staff meetings with Zoom and with their program coordinators. So we know what they're dealing with. You know, when I had to go to one center for something and I had to wear goggles and a mask, and after 10 minutes, I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore, you know, because I wasn't used to it. But they do that day in and day out. So definitely, you know, our educators, they're just amazing. Another aha moment was understanding that A Child's World really did have good processes in place to help us with dealing with anything that came our way. We did have a few learnings. Right. And we dealt with those and we learned from them. And I think that was the biggest thing as well. Anything that, and I don't want to say lacking, but any areas that we needed to work on, we learned from that moving forward. And I think that's really key, that you do have to learn from those things that you may not be up to par with. But who would have known that a pandemic was coming either?
Yes. Yes.
Another aha moment was realizing that this pandemic wasn't going to be just for a few weeks. You know, I kept track in my day timer, you know, week one, week two, and then it just kept going and going. And when I communicated with the educators through our staff portal, that's how I would keep track of, hey, week six, this is what we're going to do during week six, you know, and so let's share, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, as much as that, it kept it in the forefront. It was also kind of like, okay, this is going on longer than first anticipated. So let's, you know, really try to stay positive for everyone, because it was a dark moment back then, you know, when we didn't know that it was going to take this long as we continue to be in the pandemic. And also just realizing how fortunate we are in Niagara to have hardworking staff of the public health and children's services We're at about 68% of our staff are vaccinated. Wow. And how wonderful is that? We're still getting, you know, emails today. Can you give me a letter? Because I got my, you know, my appointment. And how amazing is that, you know, that we were able to have two organizations work so hard to make sure that our educators had the opportunity for those that wanted it, you know, to get vaccinated, because that's not happening all over Ontario, right? So, but in Niagara, we were really lucky. So that definitely is an aha moment for us as well.
Yeah, it is a very supportive region for early learning, and it's wonderful to see how that has really kept people positive, kept educators positive, knowing that support is there. So, yeah, feeling very fortunate.
Definitely. And I think that's one of the clear communications with me in regards to the vaccine is just, you know, how lucky we are that, you know, we were able to be part of, you know, getting their vaccine right now, as opposed to a little bit later. So, yeah, they're very thankful.
Well, we appreciate you sharing all your wisdom and thoughts and ideas on your journey this past year with us today. And we look forward to connecting with you in the future.
Thank you. And thank you to you and your staff for always keeping educators in the forefront and being able to provide for them what they're looking for, and doing it virtually. I mean, it's great. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. You as well.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast in conversation with our local Niagara organizations, reflecting on their journey through this past 14 months of the pandemic. We look forward to connecting with you in ECCDC's upcoming podcasts. Thank you and have a wonderful day.